Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6. We will be looking into verse 17 through verse 23, the Lord willing. Romans, chapter 6, verse 17 through verse 23. I will judge that all of us are painfully aware that in our society there is very little that is free. Many years ago, I attempted to get a free 35 millimeter camera just for trying out a new program. And all I had to do was cancel within the first 30 days, and then the camera, of course, was mine to keep. You ever heard those things? For free, could have a camera. Well, I was very careful to cancel the plan within the time frame, in fact, well ahead of the time. And, the company ended up billing my credit card anyway. They did send me the camera, but it really was useless as a camera. I got what I paid for, and, the problem was I couldn't get those people to give my money back. They charged me for something they shouldn't have charged me for, and I ended up using something to similar to, remember Andy Wise, he was on your side, well, something like that, you know, I used that, and after a couple of months, I had a letter to the attorney general of that particular state where the company was. The company finally reimbursed me for the money that they took from my account. And I learned a very valuable lesson. I learned that don't do anything for a free gift, and all you have to do is try it out and then cancel within the first 30 days or 60 days. Don't ever do that, and I've never done that since. Once I received a phone solicitation for a new service in which they would give me $1 million of insurance coverage for 2 months absolutely free. All I had to do was try the service out, and if I canceled within 60 days, the 2 months coverage was free. Of course, when you think about it, in order for me to collect, I'd had to die ahead of time. And of course, I just told them no. That was after the camera trick. I'm not interested in your free insurance. The internet is flooded with all sorts of free stuff. And you can play games and you can win money and all that for free. Well, of course, you'll notice you always have to register for those things. And then you can expect a flood of solicitations and mailings and emails. I just don't sign up. I don't. Many advertisements have the small print, don't they? That 0% interest for that new credit card, well, that only lasts for 3 to maybe 6 months at best, and then it's going to be 25% interest. You're looking at the zero. And you go, wow, that's great, I switch. And you switch and you, 6 months down the road, it's more than what you were paying before that. And really, truly, the free things that companies will send you on a trial basis, that's okay if you really want to do it. I mean, they are making those offers and it is up to you to cancel. Just bear in mind they might charge you anyway, and they are also betting on the likelihood that you're going to forget and then you're going to end up paying. And they do that for a reason. And they offer it free in order to entice you. Just be careful with that. And again, I really don't mind the offers that even have those little strings attached, as long as I know what it is and I'm aware of it and I'm willing to comply. Certainly some things come with responsibility. You just have to be aware. Now, I'd like to talk to you today about something of which you can have today. And I'll tell you, it's free. And but let me submit in regard to this, that you cannot earn the right to get it. You cannot do anything to deserve it. You cannot get it anywhere but one place. But it is available to you, and it's available today. You do not have to sign up for anything to get it, and you don't have to cancel in 30 days. But there are, if I may say, some strings attached, not really in that so much of the word, really, it's more of expectations, and we'll express that to you when the time comes. But you know what? What I offer you today is absolutely free. Now, I just caution you about free things all the way through, but I'll tell you, this is free. Would you like it? I am telling you the truth, by the way, and it's the best thing going, and it's the greatest opportunity that you will ever have. unlike other products and services and things that are offered unto you, you really do need this. Do you want it? Do you want to know what it is? Well, I'll be glad to tell you during our time this morning as we gather together. And I want you to know it can be yours, and it's free. Really, it is free. That's the title of my message, by the way, and it is free. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege of being in your house today, and thank you for each one who is here. Our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and cannot, that you would bless them, heal them, meet those needs. You give encouragement as you can, only you can. We ask that your will be done in their lives. But we've come together in your name today, and we ask that you bless the singing, that it would be to your praise, bless our prayers, as, that it would also honor you and bless your word as it goes forth, that which you laid upon my heart to share. Speak through me and use me. May you just hide me behind the cross, and may the word go out clear, and may you work it in every heart by the Holy Spirit. And we pray for any in our midst today who is lost, that you would show them their need of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would touch their hearts, draw them to you. We just thank you for this time. We love you today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about, and it is free. Look into verse 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. The first thing I want to mention unto you in regard to this, and I've already elicited most of the points to our message today as in the introduction, but the first thing is you cannot earn the right to get it. What I'm telling you today, what the Bible will give to you today, you cannot earn the right to get it. Verse 17 says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." Notice he talks about how that they were servants of sin before they were saved. Before they became children of God, they were servants of sin. They were lost. They were dead. They were enemies of God. They were against God and opposed to Him in every aspect. They were servants of sin. But he says there's something to thank God for, and that is you obey from the heart that form of doctrine. And I submit unto you that form of doctrine which Paul is making reference toward here is the issue of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. All you have to do is go back to the first chapters. We've been going through the book of Romans on Sunday afternoon service. We're in chapter 4. We'll talk about that this afternoon. But all the time that we've been going from chapter 1 and past our text that we're going to look at today, come into chapter 6. Read all that when you have an opportunity. And what will the Apostle Paul teach you? He will teach you that salvation from your sin, salvation from your judgment and the wrath and the condemnation that's upon you, dear sinner friend, that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ, and it comes apart from works, and it's by grace, and it's going to be received by faith. You see, and there are so many in our society that believe that they're getting to heaven by keeping the commandments. Well, I live a good life. I treat my neighbor right. I do the best I can. And others think that, well, I've joined a church. I've been baptized. I've done this and I've done that. And they believe that that's going to equalize all their sin that they committed against God. Well, I want you to know, my friend, if you're lost, you're a servant of sin, and there isn't anything you can do to deserve the gift of eternal life. This salvation that's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ apart from works comes as a gift. Now, I think you've already can put the pieces together, and it is free. If you're going to be saved today from your sin, if you're going to have a home in heaven, if you're going to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, it is going to be through the provision of Jesus Christ and through Christ alone, and you can't do anything to earn it. It is absolutely free. And I think that's necessary to understand. And so I want to emphasize that. There are a couple references that I would like to mention unto you. They're in the bulletin. All the references are in the bulletin and the back of the prayer list, the outline there. Romans chapter 3, verse 28, Paul wrote earlier, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Very clearly, you cannot be justified by keeping the commandments. You cannot. You will not get to heaven by living a good life and treating your neighbors right or being religious. You cannot. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, the first part of the verse says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." This salvation that I speak to you today, it cannot be earned by you because you have nothing to offer God. You're spiritually bankrupt. And then Titus chapter 3, verse 5, the first part of that verse says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." I'm saved today. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I have a home in heaven. I'm a child of the King. And it's not because of anything that I've done, but because of His mercy, He saved me. He washed me. He cleansed me. And I couldn't do anything to earn it. It's free. It's free. And so we look into verse 17. We introduce the subject matter of salvation by grace through faith, and you cannot earn it to get it. Well, then also I'd like to submit unto you the second point is you cannot do anything to deserve it. You think, well, I'm a man. I deserve this and I deserve that. And mankind has that perception. We're so self-centered. We think that God has to give us everything. We deserve everything. The truth of the matter is we don't deserve anything but wrath and judgment and condemnation. That's the truth of the matter. And so don't be so arrogant. You cannot do anything to deserve this gift. And the text will tell us it's a gift. Verse 20, chapter 6, verse 20. "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness." If you were free from righteousness, how could you have done anything to earn it? To deserve it. Oh, God loved me, looked down and saw something good in me, and He loved me because of that. No, that cannot happen. You were free from righteousness. When you were a servant of sin, you were absolutely free from that. Verse 23, the first part of the verse tells us the wages of sin is death. What you deserve because you were a sinner is death and hell. That's the real condemnation. And that's what needs to be understood. Our society has twisted so many things, and even in professing Christian denominations, they're saying so many things that just are not biblical. The fact of the matter is, all men have sinned against God. All men deserve judgment and wrath and condemnation. And this salvation which God has provided for us, and thank God that He has, this salvation He has provided for us is not something that we can earn on our own. It's not something that we deserve. I deserve to be in hell. I'm the one that sinned against God. And so our text tells us that the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned, and the penalty for that, the payment for that, the paycheck is death. That's what we deserve. And so over in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, you can look back a page if you want, but in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Aren't you glad of that? It says in verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I'm glad to know the truth. It says Christ died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 6, verse 19, the latter part of the verse. That's part of our passage. It says, "For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity." All we did before we were saved was, well, we just lived a life of sin. And you may not have been as immoral and corrupt as other people in our society. You may not have been a felon or committed murder or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, spiritually, you're a sinner against God, and you went against God, and you yielded your members as servants to uncleanness and from sin to sin, or iniquity to iniquity. There wasn't anything in you, and there wasn't anything in me. God didn't look down and say, "I'm looking for somebody good in order to save them." That's not how that works. Fact is, none of us are good. We read that when we were in chapter 3 in Sunday afternoons. "There is none righteous, there is none that seeketh after God, there is none that doeth good, no, not one." So the fact of the matter is, all men are sinners before a holy God and under condemnation. And they cannot earn the salvation which God has provided, and they do not deserve the salvation which God has provided. And I think that's necessary to understand. I think it's a basic biblical truth. And so we read in the passage these very things. Let's notice then number 3. I want to submit unto you that you cannot get it anywhere but one place. You say, well, that's kind of inclusive, isn't it? Well, it is. It's not inclusive. It's exclusive. There's only one place you can have salvation from. It is not the idea that all roads lead to the same place. No, sir. Look into the passage. In verse 17, the first part of the verse, it says, "But God be thanked." We read that as we began in that text. But God be thanked. Why is he be thankful to be thanked? Because when we were servants, that's when he did something for us. We were servants of sin, but he saved us. God is the one to be thanked. So you look into verse 23, the last part of the text, it says it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this free gift that I'm telling you about today, this salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, only comes from God. Only comes through the Savior. That's it. There is no other way. And so you cannot look around at the world religions and say, well, they're good enough and I can get a piece of this and a piece of that. It is not sufficient. There is only one way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. You say that's offensive and that excludes some multitudes of people around the world, then it's just going to have to, because that's what God has said. We need to believe God. We need to believe His Word. And so in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." And that name is Jesus Christ, by the way. Acts chapter 13, verse 38, Paul in his preaching said, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," that's Jesus Christ, "through this man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And if I'm going to preach to you today about forgiveness of sins, I'm going to preach to you that it's through Jesus Christ, because that's what the Bible says is our source for forgiveness. I would be wrong to say it's through the church. I'd be wrong to say it's through communion. I'd be wrong to say it's through baptism, or you living a good life, or you can kind of do it on your own. I'd be wrong to say all that, because the forgiveness only comes through Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be cleansed from your sin, that free gift must come from Him, and He's the only one that can do it for you. You cannot get it anywhere else. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and it is the man Christ Jesus." One mediator. By the way, that's who I approach. I approach the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't go to an intercessory. I don't go to some saint or anybody else. I have one mediator, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. And dear sinner friend, today there's only one individual that can help you, and that's Jesus Christ. No one else can do it. You cannot get this gift anywhere but one place, and that place is Jesus. Aren't you thankful for the truth? Aren't you thankful that you can read it in the book and know that these things be true? Then I want to submit unto you in the fourth aspect, and I don't have a reference within our text to express this, but I just want to make a statement unto you that it is available to you today. This salvation by grace through faith can be yours today. It wasn't that long ago that I preached a message on this, but 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today. Today. Aren't you glad, dear sinner, that you can be forgiven of your sin today? You know why that's important? Because you might not have a tomorrow. You might not have 6 months. You might not have a year. You might not have 5 or 10 years. You need to be saved, dear sinner friend, and you need to be saved today, because, well, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This salvation, this free gift that I'm speaking to you about, can be yours today. Even those people that call you on the phone and you respond to the internet, or you see the ad on TV and say, "Oh, you can have this. Just sign up and you can get it for free." It's still going to take 2 or 3 days. I didn't get my camera. Boy, that was a dandy. I didn't get that camera for about 2 or 3 weeks, but I got that camera and it was a piece of junk. It was a useless piece of plastic. But I did get it, but it took time. But this gift I'm telling you today, you can have it today. You don't have to wait. John chapter 6, verse 37 says, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out." You know what that is? That's a promise. Dear sinner friend, if you'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, if you turn to Him, He will give you eternal life. He says, "If you'll come to me, I will not turn you away. I will not cast you out." I wish I could get that message to every lost sinner, for them to know, to recognize You know what? I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm undone. There ain't anything I can do to fix that. But God loved me enough to give his son for me. And he died for the ungodly. We've already read that. And so I can have eternal life. And you know, the good news is you can have it today. You might have come in lost. You don't have to leave lost. You come in a servant of sin, you can leave a servant of righteousness today. Today. Boy, that's good news, isn't it? It's available to you today. And then, of course, I would submit unto you in the line of my thinking of using the illustrations. And you know what? You do not have to cancel in 30 days. What I'm offering you is free in there. And anything you have to do, you don't have to cancel. You don't have to call up. You don't have to pray to God and say, well, I want to cancel this. No. By the way, who would want to? Who would want to? I mean, if God forgave you of your sin and gave you a home in heaven, why would you want to cancel? I talked to a guy in Florida many, many years ago. We were going door to door and talking to the guy, and the guy believed that he could lose his salvation. And I said, well, I believe the Bible teaches that once you're saved, you're always saved, and the provision of Christ is sufficient to cover your sin. And he said, well, the Bible says that you can lose it. And I said, no, it does not. And he said, well, I think that it does. And I said, well, you know, over in John, it talks about we're in our Father's hands, and no man can pluck you out of my hand. And he said, my Father are one. And he says, well, no, nobody can pluck you out, but you can jump out. And I looked at him, I said, who in the world would want to jump out of God's hand? Which, by the way, you can't jump out even if you wanted to. You're not going to want to. The thing is, you know what? This is what I'm offering to you today, what the Bible teaches. If it's yours, it's yours forever. And I'm so glad that it is. Because among men, we mess up. You know, contracts fail. We don't always fulfill all the details, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm glad this is all based upon God. And the salvation that he has given me, he's given to me in Jesus Christ. It wasn't dependent upon me to get it. It's not dependent upon me to keep it. It's all taken care of by Jesus Christ. So this free gift I tell you about today is something you can have forever. And it's free. John chapter 10, verse 28, verse 29, Jesus says, and here's the text. I didn't mean to give this in the illustration, but I did. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What kind of life do you receive, dear Christian? It's eternal life. Everlasting. It's never going to go away. You don't want it to go away, do you? John chapter 17, verse 11, Jesus said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come unto thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And I'll tell you, God always hears the prayers of his Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, keep them whom you gave to me. And he keeps every one of them. Every one of them. And so in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, it says, wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. A preacher a long time ago said, we went from the guttermost to the uttermost. And how true that is. He saves us to the uttermost. Do you know why? Because God lives, God exists, he intercedes for us. There ain't anything I can do to lose my salvation. I don't want to lose my salvation. I'm not trying to lose my salvation, and I can't lose my salvation. Because that free gift was given to me based on Jesus Christ and his provision. It was through his promises. And so in Jude 24, verse 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God will keep every one of his own. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, lest you want to say, well, verse 38 says about people who draw back. Verse 39 says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There it is, my friend. This free gift I offer unto you today that's rooted in the Word of God can be yours. And once it's yours forever. And you'll not want to get rid of it anyway. But in the illustration in the beginning, the introduction, I'd mentioned about some of those things have some strings attached. Well, these are, what I'm saying about the matter of salvation are not really strings, but I'll tell you, there is an expectation I think you need to understand. And it's found right in our text. We haven't read these verses yet, so we will right now. There are some expectations. I offer you the free gift of eternal life today. You can be forgiven of your sin and have a home in heaven when you die. But there's something that God expects. Not for you to receive it, but if you do receive it, if you do have eternal life, there's something God expects. Well, if you don't believe me, look into verse 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Before you were saved, you were a servant of sin. Now you're a servant of righteousness if you're saved. If you receive the gift of eternal life, you're a servant of righteousness. So see what Paul says in the text. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Paul says, I'm going to give you an illustration, but it's the best one I can do because we're all kind of corrupt and sinful. It's kind of hard to just understand this. So he says, for as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. And what it was is before you were saved, everything you did with your life, with your body and all that, you did it for unto sin. Now he says, you're not a servant of sin anymore, you're a servant of righteousness, so don't yield your members that way anymore. Pick it up in verse 20. He says, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Remember, I mentioned that earlier about the fact you have nothing to offer God. What fruit, verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. When I say that there are expectations in regard to this matter of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, what do I mean? I mean exactly what Paul has said. Before you were saved, you were a servant of sin and you used your body and all your instruments you used for sin. That's what he says in the text. He says, but now that you're saved, you're free from sin and you're servants of righteousness, you take those same members that you used to use for sin and use it toward holiness. And so he says, as a matter of fact, you have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Let me express it this way. Here's a verse that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, my friend, if you say I have eternal life, I have the free gift, and Christ gave it to me, then there's going to be a change in your life. There will be a difference. And if you say, well, I made a profession of faith, but there's never been any change, there's no way, no difference, no desire, no change, well, then you need to examine your heart, because the fact of the matter is, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know why? Because you're not a servant of sin anymore, you're a servant to righteousness. You're a new creature. And that new creature desires after holiness. And so when God saved me, I'm not perfect. You can spend 2 minutes with me and find out I'm not perfect. I'm still a sinner and I'm still struggling with things in my life. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, I have a completely different outlook, different viewpoint. My heart is different. God did that when I was 15. And he changed my life forever. The expectations are these. You think in the text, we read from verse 17 down through, or 18 through verse 22. Just think of this. This free gift that he offers within the text, we'll see it in just a second. I've mentioned it all the way through. This free gift, if it's yours, if you have eternal life, I know you've been changed from the inside out. I know the Spirit of God dwells in your heart. And you have a different outlook, a different perspective, different desires than what you had before. You won't be perfect, but there's a different desire of the heart. We look into the text. Five things. Number one, we are servants of righteousness. If you're saved, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you truly do have eternal life, then you are a servant of righteousness. Do you think there's some expectations associated with that servanthood? Number two, we are to yield our members to holiness. We read it in the text. Before we were saved, we used our hands and our feet and our eyes, our legs and all that. We did all that towards sin. Now we need to yield it to holiness. That's what he tells us. Number three, we should be ashamed of our past deeds in the flesh. Did you ever notice that? Of those things whereof we are now ashamed. You know, some people glory in their past. And, oh, when I was lost, I used to do this and I used to do that. And they almost are boasting over it. It's not a testimony of, well, this is the way I was and God saved me from it. It's almost a boasting of what they used to accomplish in sin. The Bible says that we're ashamed of that stuff. Ashamed of it. Number four. And of course, he declares now that we are servants of God. Verse 22, you've become servants to God. And that very next phrase there in verse 22, number five, is our fruit is now unto holiness. My life is to produce holiness. Won't be perfect in it. Are there expectations to a profession of faith? There are. Maybe the phrase isn't to use is not strings attached, because there really are no strings attached. Salvation comes by grace through faith in Christ, and that's it. But I'll tell you, God expects His children to love Him, to serve Him, to be obedient to Him. That's what God expects. And we ought to have our fruit to holiness. Is that offensive to you? Does that hurt your heart? Maybe you should ask the question, am I really saved? Do I really know Jesus? Because really that ought to be our heart's desire, shouldn't it? Well, the last point is this, and I've said about this gift, I mentioned it all the way through, and I said, and it's free. Yes, it's this salvation by grace through faith is absolutely free to you. Verse 23, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But that last part of the verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift cannot be earned. A gift is not deserved. A gift simply must be received. The gift of God is eternal life. Before you were saved, you're facing eternal death, but you can have eternal life, my dear sinner friend, today. But it's a gift of God. And that gift comes through Jesus Christ. I've already stated all these things. And you don't have to sign up on a trial basis. It's not, well, I'll give it a shot and see what happens. My friend, the gift of God is eternal life. Sinner, you can be saved today. So let's finish out by thinking about this free gift. And when I say it's free to you. It's certainly not free because it was paid for. And so let me submit that to you as I look at these points as I finish. Number one, this free gift is provided for you by Jesus Christ. That's grand news, isn't it? You're here today, you're lost and you're undone. You say, how in the world can I have forgiveness? How can I go to heaven when I die? How can I be made right with God? Well, it's going to be through Jesus Christ and the provision which He has made. Remember, we just read there, it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. This eternal life only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's provided for by Jesus Christ. Number two, it is paid for by Jesus Christ. We sing that song in our hymn book. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Paid for. It's free to you, but it isn't free. Oh, by the way, when we think about the freedom we have in this country, well, it's free. No, it isn't. It's been paid for by the blood of our soldiers that we can have this freedom. And I'll tell you, the salvation I have in Jesus Christ, it's free to me. I can't earn it. I can't deserve it. I can't pay for it. All of it's just free, provided by Christ. But He paid the penalty. He went to the cross. He was crucified. He was buried. It's Christ that provided for us. It's Christ who paid the debt. And I want you to know, my friend, even though it's free to you, somebody paid for it. And bear that in mind when you hear so much in our society about, oh, we're going to provide this free and provide that. Somebody's paying for it. So when the politicians get up there and talk about all the free stuff they're going to give you, you better be careful, because all that free stuff comes with a price and somebody's paying for it. This salvation is paid for by Jesus Christ. Number three, Jesus offers it to you in spite of who you are. Isn't that good news? You know, man in his own arrogance says, well, I got to do something. I got to make myself approved before God. I got to do something so God will look down and love me. You know, Jesus provided this in spite of who you are. Remember, we read in the text that he died for the ungodly, didn't he? You don't have to get your ducks in a row. You don't have to live a righteous life in order for God to love you. It says that he died for the ungodly. He saves the ungodly. He doesn't save the self-righteous. He saves the ungodly. And so you say, well, I'm lost and I'm undone. Will he save me? Yeah, because he offers you the gift in spite of who you are. Number four, Jesus will give it to you regardless of what you have done. You say, well, you just don't know me, preacher. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my life. You don't know my experiences. No, I do not, but I know God. And I know the truth of the Word of God. He died for the ungodly. He gives eternal life to the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. And you might be more decayed than other people, but I'll tell you what, he'll give you eternal life in spite of who you are, and he will give you eternal life regardless of what you've done in the past. But what you do need to bear in mind is if you do receive eternal life, if you do become a child of God, there's some expectation of that, and you're going to leave that old life behind. You see, you do have to bear that in mind. We already indicated that. But he will give you eternal life regardless of what you've done. Number five, it is free to you because you're totally bankrupt spiritually. I think you need to understand that. Dear sinner, today, you have absolutely nothing to offer God. Nothing. You're spiritually bankrupt. All you can do is appeal to Him. Turn to Him by faith, and that faith is a gift of God, by the way. But you're spiritually bankrupt. Don't think you can earn it or deserve it. Number six, you do not have to do one work or deed to get eternal life. When I look at Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. The penalty, the payment, the paycheck for the sins you've committed is death. Contrast, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. You don't have to do one thing to earn salvation. You don't have to do anything to deserve it. You can't do any of that. But you can have it. It's a gift. All you have to do, my friend, is believe. Will you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you do that? So many of you have done that today. If I should ask you about your profession and ask you about your testimony, you said, yes, at a certain time in my life, and I was this age or whatever, God worked in me and God did this and God did that, maybe through a missionary, maybe through a guest preacher, maybe through the preacher, maybe through a friend or associate. But God used the Word of God to convict you of your sin, and you were under conviction and you repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved you and He changed you, and you haven't been the same since. You rejoice in that. But you also understand the expectations with that, don't you? Yeah, you've received the gift of eternal life, but He changed you. He made a difference. I urge you today, as believers, desire to fulfill those expectations. Follow after holiness. Be faithful, be obedient, serve the Lord. Love Him with all your heart. Remember, He loved you. He gave His life for you. He didn't have to, but He did. So, Christian, I encourage you to be found true. Dear sinner, today, with all my heart, I've done what I can to express to you your need of Jesus Christ. I've tried to express unto you the only solution to your sin problem, and it's Jesus Christ. And the only way you can receive that gift is simply by faith. Because salvation is by grace through faith apart from works, lest any man should boast, the Scripture says. You can be saved today. You can come in a sinner. You can leave a saint. Because God will offer you and does offer you the free gift of eternal life. It's free. It really is. Would you be saved today? Let's stand. The invitation simply is this, right where you stand, if God's convicted you, if you're burdened in your heart and your soul and you're seeking after the Lord, right where you are, you know what? You can be saved. You don't have to walk an aisle. Right where you are, if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll call upon Him in faith, He'll give you eternal life. Can you believe God? Can you believe His Word? Would you be saved today? You can have that gift. Remember we read? Him that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. What a promise. Sinner, would you be saved today? Christian, would you serve Him? Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts as only you can. Work by your Holy Spirit. Save the lost. Draw us to you who are saved. Thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for giving it to us. And we're so thankful that it's free because we had nothing to pay. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Song is number 327. 327.